Okay. 8:10, huh? We can get ready for puja, huh? We let Brother Teo nominate 2 persons. Andrin and Mrs. Tan. Help to light the candle and incense. So today is Thursday, Padma Suri and Brother Teo's house. 22nd November 2018. Let us stand. Elsie, 还有一个, 三个, 这边, 这边一个. Here, three. Okay. Start with the three. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then let us compose our mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava, Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Tiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Chara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we are chant the padipa puja offering of likes. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Hetang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milai yati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu nobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the importance of this body, the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond free in nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent meditation. Yeah, we are off the light. Then you can develop the silent mind to meditate. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. Then for those who still need to stabilize your mindfulness, you can go ahead. You just do whatever that is appropriate. You need to decondition your headless thinking. Just do it. Then combine with metta to stabilize your sati. Then after that, anchor it to anapanasati until the anapanasati become very quiet, very still. That is what your silent mind or meditative mind is all about. You need to stabilize it until it's very, very stable. Then use it to develop the daily mindfulness. Okay, you can have your meditation now. slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambut Carana sampano sukato lokavido Anutaro puraisa dhammasarati Sattva Deva Manusanam Bhutto Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Upanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Enohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Saukasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Saukasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato saukasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato saukasango Yadidam chattari purisa Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato Saukasango Ahuneyo Ahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali karaneyo Anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Testing, 1, 2, 3, okay. Testing, 1, 2, 3. This is the old set or new set? Oh, don't use the old set, use the new set. Yeah. Better use the new set. The old set, just let it rest and use as a spare if you need to. Okay, I think it's okay now. So just now was because it was the old set, that's why we got distortion. So now it should be back to normal. Okay. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attentiveness and mindfulness. Then we can start our second session. Second session is reporting of meditation. You can report whatever meditation experience that you have developed. Then you can also ask whatever question related to the meditation. Your question can also be related to the teaching, how to apply the teaching and how to enable you to make use of the teaching, to develop the practice, the cultivation, so that you can understand the teaching deeply. Okay. Anybody who wants to report meditation and ask question, you just raise your hand. Then we will pass you the mic. When it comes to reporting meditation, don't worry. Just report exactly how you understand it and how you do it. That's it. You don't have to tell me any other things. Unless you got some experience that you cannot understand, then you try to describe to me, then I can help you develop the understanding. Anybody? Good. Yeah. What's your name again? Wendy, yeah, thanks. Pass the wireless mic to Wendy. Yeah. Yeah, just test it and see on it. Good, okay. Yeah.
prosperity.
Yes,
after our experience meditation, I noticed that everything in control.
Yes.
I noticed that the world is in control.
Yeah. It's not you. It's the world, through nature's law.
Yeah.
Through nature's law, it governs all of life and existence. That's why to you, you use the word like the world is in control, it's not you. But basically, as human being, if we have the understanding of the teaching, which is the understanding of the truth as taught by the Buddha, then we can change. We can bring about possibility of change. Means life need not be what it like perceived to be. You can bring about change through understanding. But it has to be done gradually with understanding. It cannot be overnight.
And when I experience dissatisfaction or unhappiness, I automatically will look in my breath.
Good. Come back to your breath.
It becomes automatic.
Very good. Where you have done it in your past. So it will automatically come back to your breath. Then what happens when you come back to your breath? You feel calm.
Feel peaceful. Then after 2 minutes, I forgot about. I don't cling to it.
Yeah. Then that thought that disturb you, no more having power to disturb you or cause you any more like unsatisfactoriness, which is good. But this is just one of the what they call Dhamma way to overcome them. But the ultimate final way is to wisdom. You need to develop wisdom. You have some form of understanding, but that understanding is mostly conditioned from your past practice. That's why now you connect back, you can understand all this very far, and you will know how to go back to your breath. Then within less than 1-2 minutes, that whatever life situation that condition, your unsatisfactoriness or unhappiness, has got no more power over you. Then after that, you become peaceful again. Then like you say, it's like you have forgotten what happened. But the problem with this type of contemplative wisdom is it's not potent enough to root out all of the defilement or delusion. So what happens is, after this, you will go back to your normal life. Then when you confront similar situation or certain situation, then this mind will again have certain response, or we call it affected again. Then when you feel it again, you go back to your breathing, where it's like automatic, you have done it before in your past. But if you continue to do this, it will not root out completely your defilement. So to root it out, you have to go on to the next category of cultivation. The Buddha called it the fourth way. What you have done is the third way, together with the initial contemplation. We call it the initial wisdom that come about through your understanding of certain aspect of the Dhamma, and when you reflect and contemplate, then you understand the world is in control, not you. So that's why you can easily let it be. Then, like you explained last Thursday, there were many occasions where you hardly got any dreams, which is very good. When you have that mind state, means you are most of the time peaceful, quiet, and you don't have much sankhara. And this is the mind state of enlightened being. Enlightened being is always like that. But for your case, you need more stability of wisdom. So what you should do now is, you have to develop your daily mindfulness until it's very, very stable. Then cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, especially the Dhammanupassana aspect. There are four foundations: Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, Citta Nupassana, and finally Dhamma Nupassana. So these are the four foundations. of mindfulness. So the four foundation of mindfulness is where you anchor your mindfulness to. So the first foundation, if you are familiar, deals with your kaya. And there are six practices. So under the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, you start with training your mind to be mindful, aware. That's why you have done it, that one. Your Anapanasati is very stable. That's why you can become very calm, very peaceful in that state. So this Anapanasati can help you. But after you have developed it, you have to go to the second category of practice. The second category of practice is, I better write on the whiteboard for you so that you can remember. So the four foundation of mindfulness. Sometimes they use the word establishment. Both words are okay. So this four foundation means it's like a base, a foundation, like you build a building. You have to start off with a very strong base. We call that the foundation. So this will anchor your practice. Because these are the four foundations. When you stay with them, you will develop wisdom. So the first foundation is called Kaya Nupassana. Kaya means your body. You anchor Nupassana. You anchor your mindfulness on your kaya. So the first aspect of kaya is your breathing. And the Buddha recommended the breath, Anapanasati, means mindfulness of the in and out breath, is because our breath is always with us in the present moment. So very easy to be mindful. When you anchor it with the breathing, means when you are aware without thought, your mind is peaceful. Calm. That's why you can have that develop, because you have done it in your past. So this one will stabilize your mindfulness and it helps you to become peaceful very fast. And this is very stable, Anapanasati. Then after that, the Buddha said, you're supposed to move into the next category of practice. So under the first foundation, let's say I put this as number one. The first category of practice is Anapanasati. Anapanasati. So this is the mindfulness of the in and out breath. So this is the first category of practice. And this one is very suitable for most people, where your breath is a very neutral object. Suitable for most people with whatever personality. Where it's very neutral. It's not like something that is luring, attractive. Or like if you use a meditation object that is very fearful, bring about fear. Like you meditate on death, on the dead. Or you meditate on the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. Or some people meditate on skeleton. So that type of object can bring about fear. Then some people, they meditate on beautiful form, like golden Buddha or what. Then you can get attracted and all those things. Or pretty form. So after you have developed this Anapanasati, this is just to train your mind. To train mind. In sati means to develop the mindfulness. So once you are able to anchor your mind to the breathing, you are developing mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then after that, the Buddha said, no need to go deeper. Straight away you go to the mindfulness of the four posture. mindfulness or four posture. So this four posture you are familiar: standing aware, walking aware, then sitting aware. When you lie down also, mindfully lie down, aware of those posture. Yeah. So this one is a preliminary exercise to anchor your mind in life. Well, in life, you have to be in this four posture all the time. Either you are standing, or you are walking, or you are sitting, or you are lying down. Okay? So when you can do this, then your mindfulness will stabilize. Then you have to perfect it through the third category of practice. The Buddha called this Sati Sampajana. Sati Sampajana here means mindfulness and clear comprehension. So this mindfulness and clear comprehension is the accumulation of the daily mindfulness. So this one is daily mindfulness. So this one extends your normal training of mindfulness, not only on the four posture. Now, all the movement and activity connecting the four posture, you must also develop mindfulness. That's why in the sutta, the Buddha under Sati Sampajana, he says, you must have mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. So in the sutta it's described, standing aware, looking forward aware, then bending, stretching, turning aware. So whatever movement, like when you are putting on, he described the monk, putting on the shoulder cloth or the robe, you have to establish awareness. So for us, is when we are putting on our clothing, we have to establish mindfulness. Yeah. Then when we are eating, we have to be mindful, the Buddha said. Then when we answer nature's call, we too have to be mindful. So all action, all movement in the present moment, which is continuous mindfulness. That's why this one will establish the continuity of mindfulness. So this is continuous mindfulness. Continuous mindfulness. That's why in the sutta, they use this word, ever mindful. That is the meaning. Ever mindful. So Dhammapada verse 23. Dhammapada verse 23. Define Appamada as the constantly meditative and ever mindful. If you are steadfast in these two practices, you will realize the bond-free Nibbana. So that is what heedfulness is all about. So ever mindful is one of the requirements. Then constantly meditative means constantly using this mindful state of mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Within the Noble Eightfold Path is the four foundation of mindfulness, which is this one. That's why I say now you have to go and cultivate this. You have to stabilize this. You already finished this. More or less you can do the second one also. But you can straight away go to the third one because no different. You will be able to do it. Yeah. Then after you have done this only, to develop the wisdom further, you can do the fourth, fifth, and sixth category of Kaya Nupasana practices. So the fourth one is mindfulness of the four elements. This one actually, by the time you finish this, the initial wisdom will come. This will bring about the yoniso manasikara. Manasikara. So this is the initial wisdom. Or they call it the wise attention or wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Wise attention at moment of sense experience. So as your daily mindfulness, continuous mindfulness, as you develop sati sampajana, this daily mindfulness develop into the state of ever mindful or continuous mindfulness. This will give rise to the initial wisdom called yoniso manasikara. And this one come about from reflection, contemplation and the hearing of the Dhamma, means the first and second turning wisdom. Yeah. Because when you are in this state, when you are ever mindful, you will be able to contemplate on the Dhamma very easily. Because your mind is very calm, very quiet, like you experienced the 4 days of mindfulness state. During that time, everything becomes very clear, very easy to understand. That's how you will develop the initial wisdom to deal with whatever unsatisfactory nature or condition that arise. Then you know how to go back to anapanasati and calm yourself down. Then it's like you can forget about the whatever problem, because you will not cling, you will not hold, you know you are not in control. Nature is in control. So the world is the world. People are just the way they are. That is to develop the stability of wisdom. So when you can accept this more and more, more and more, more and more, then later on, you don't even have to go into anapanasati, because your mindfulness has already become part of you, continuous. Throughout the day, you are mindful, aware. So the moment you're silent, you are already in that state of sati. So you have to develop this anapanasati until the mind enters sati. Enter sati means you remember, This one, you do until when the breath is no more. When you don't feel the breathing anymore. It's very quiet, very subtle, until like you didn't breathe at all. But actually, you have actually developed a very, very refined state of anapanasati, where your heartbeat, everything becomes very quiet, very subtle, like there is hardly any breathing. Then it will go into internal breathing. Internal breathing. Very subtle, but you cannot perceive it. You cannot detect it because your mindfulness is not refined enough. So when you hit that state, don't worry. Just silence everything. Don't do anything. Continue to be at the subtle breathing there. Just silent. Let the mind settle down. Relax into it. Settle down. Until this subtle breathing, all of a sudden, it becomes clear to you again. Means your mind has entered sati. When your mind enters sati, this breathing will come back to you, even though very subtle. Normal people cannot perceive it, but you can. That very subtle movement, you can be aware of, and there is clarity. Then you can just stay there. And that mind is very quiet, very peaceful, still, but it's not in a conditioned state of energy field, not even in absorption. It's just a free mind, quiet, peaceful, and subtle. Then after that, when you come out of the meditation, you realize your hand movement, your activity, or like no thought, your awareness and your hand movement as one. Then everything you do, like the mind is aware. Then you move into daily mindfulness. This daily mindfulness. Then this 4 posture, all this thing, very easy to do. When your mind enters sati, it's very easy to do all this. Then you will come to know How come now it's so different? You will slow down on your own, but at the pace that you are comfortable with. Then when you go back to society, it can be at the same pace, but you can maintain mindfulness. You can maintain awareness because your mindfulness has become very stable, continuous, and very mindful. That's why you have to develop mindfulness of four postures. You can combine two and three actually, sati sampajana. Sampajana is clear comprehension. It's to guide you so that you will not deviate from the cultivation, the practice. Otherwise, sati without sampajana can go wrong. There are some who are not skillful, who don't have proper understanding and guidance. They can get trapped in defilement of insight, we call it. These are very good mind state after you have developed your meditation very well. Then you are like, you have continuous mindfulness, you enjoy piti, sukhang, like what you are going through. Then a lot of people, without clear comprehension, they attach to those mind states. Then they become complacent. Then after a while, they will neglect their practice. That's why they will not progress. Then they fall back. Then they become miserable, unhappy. So this is defilement of insight. So four type of clear comprehension, if you read through the note that I sent out, you will know. The first one is very simple. Sincerity of what they call sincerity of purpose. Means your purpose of developing this meditation is very sincere. You got no ulterior motive. You are not like drawn into meditation because you want to be famous, you want to have psychic ability, you want to have very powerful energy field and all those things. Yeah. You are not deluded or deceived by that. So your purpose is very sincere. Means you meditate to develop wisdom, understanding, leading to clarity of mind, peacefulness of mind, the silent mind, leading to joy, the understanding, the clarity, the calmness, the peacefulness within. So all this you will understand. Then you will come to know only wisdom free, nothing else. So your sincerity or purpose is just to cultivate the mindfulness, to develop the wisdom, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature or existence. Then when you insight into the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang and anatta, your mind becomes different. It's no longer deluded. Every phenomenon in this conditioned world, they exhibit this characteristic. They are impermanent. They come and they go. So you will understand this form of mind is not you. The physical body goes away on nature. There are conditions behind its arising, karmically conditional. And there are conditions that sustain it. You need the life force from your karmic nature to come and power your heart. Then you need the consciousness to make you conscious inside. Then you need the physical body in proper functional condition to support this consciousness. Then you will come to know that these are all in a state of flux, continuously arising and passing away, dependent originating. Then the physical body is only element, not you. You will know. You will understand. Yeah, because of your mindfulness. Yeah. Then after that, you will become very different. You will come to know like what you have understood, that the world is in control, not you. Because it's all nature's law. If nature's law is already set, the conditions are like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. So if you try to one thing your way, you will suffer. That's why the universal characteristic of suffering will be very clear to you. Then you will not try to control things. One thing's your way. You will just echo and flow. Then you will develop the understanding and the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. Then you will finally understand people are just the way they are. The world is the world. So when I say people are just the way they are, means deluded people will do deluded thing. Angry people will do angry thing. Selfish people will do selfish thing. So no right, no wrong. They are just the way they are. Then you can be at peace. You can accept them for what they are. Your mind will not stir anymore. Then whatever happened to the world, even politics or nature's disaster, calamity, war, riot, or whatever, you understand. Each and every one, they are born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. And they are what they are because of their karma. So the collective consciousness of that, it will evolve in such a way that will cause all this to arise. So when it arises, those with the karma, if you have good karma, not supposed to die, you will not die. Those that don't have the good karma meant to be, they will die. They will go there and die, like the previous tsunami and all those things. So all this, you will start to see them. Then you understand. You cannot attach, you cannot cling, you cannot hold. There's no reality. Everything is impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. Even your feeling come and go, you never die. Your arising of thought arise and pass away, you never die. Your perception, your mind states, your consciousness, they arise and they pass away. You cannot like want it to be forever the same, like this body, forever young, don't get sick, don't die. Impossible. Yeah, this is not you. This one goes the way of nature. It has to go the way of nature, but this is subject to nature's law of getting old, getting sick, and die. That's why the Buddha asks us to reflect every day, the five daily contemplation. Then separation is the fourth contemplation. Then law of karma is the fifth. And this, the fifth contemplation, and these are all relevant to life. You will understand them. So when you understand them, your wisdom becomes very stable, then you can move on to the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. Means, technically, you can skip these three if you want to. Mindfulness are the four elements. Very fast, you will understand. Your physical body is only element, nothing else. It cannot be you. Then this second one is mindfulness of the 32 parts. Our physical body can be divided into 32 parts. So the monk, they are asked to contemplate and reflect on this 32 part. Like hair of the head, hair of the body, your nail, your teeth, your skeleton, your whatever organ. They are all parts. When all these parts come together, perform a function, then it becomes like real. We call it the human being. Okay? So the analogy is the same as the block cut. So during the time of the Buddha asked the monk, what do you see out there? They say, oh Lord, it's a block cut. And then he asked the monk, he said, dismantle the block cut. Take the wheel apart, the axle, the carriage, everything dismantle. Then put them on the ground. Then he asked the monk, what do you see? They say, no more block up. Okay. Then he said, okay, go and assemble it back. The block up arise again. Then the Buddha asked them, the monks, what do you learn? What is a block up? Is it real? When the parts come together, perform a function, then you give it a name, a concept, you call it a buloka, anasana. Then it arises, exists. But when the parts are no more, dismantled, it cannot perform the function, then the buloka is gone. You understand? So your 32 part is the same. When they come together in proper order and perform its function, then this human being is like real, animate. Alive. So this is to let you see clearly that this physical body is the summation of all these 32 parts coming together and performing that function. Otherwise, it is not real and it cannot function. But some people, they use this to contemplate in a different way. They contemplate the impurity of the 32 path. Understand that? Huh? You heard of people doing that, isn't it? Impurity means what? Within the 32 path, if you look beneath your skin, outwardly with the skin, sometimes you look at the form, it can be very pretty, right? Like when you are young, when you are youthful, when you are healthy, when you have proper physique, when you have proper understanding to maintain a very good physical form. So this one, outwardly, it can deceive you. That's why it can lure the living being. So sometimes they use this practice to counter lust, understand, desire for the form, for the beautiful form or the handsome form. So they go and reflect on the skeleton. So then they look at everything as skeleton, they are not attracted, understand. But this one, no need to practice like that. Yeah, this type of practice, I don't know, maybe other people say it's powerful, useful, but this one is not penetrating. To me, you are trying to like bring about disgust to the form, understand? You don't like the form, but the form is a form. Why can't you accept the reality of the form? When it's young, it has its purpose and its function. That's why we went through our childhood, we went through our youth. When the condition is like that, things will be like that. Live life, understand, make full use of it when you have the condition. No need to reject it, understand? There are a lot of people say, if you look at the liquid that is in your body, you know what are the liquid? Everything that you excrete out on, like your phlegm, your whatever feces, then your urine, your sweat and all those things, even your internal acid, your bile, all those things, they are not beautiful things, understand not? Then you look at your organ, the liver, your heart, and all those things. So they try to reflect on the 32 part and develop the dispassion for the physical form, the beautiful form. And they think that is the purpose of this section of the meditation. To me, no. This 32 part is like the Buloka analogy, to tell you clearly that it is not real. Because of condition, it comes together, perform the function, then the human form arises, like real, exists already. So this is to break free from the delusion of the form. Then the sixth one is what? Mindfulness of the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. Cemetery decomposition. Cemetery, decomposition. So this one, in the older days, it was very often practiced by the ascetic. This one also to see clearly that ultimately, like the Christian, the physical body shall return to earth, means return to the dust. So when you see how the dead body, when they throw it to the charnel ground, how this physical body of yours at one time could be very beautiful, very luring and all those things, then how it decays. Initially, the four elements starts to cease or disappear. Upon death, your breath stops. So the wind element no more. Then your heat element also gone. That's why the body become cold, stiff, no more heartbeat. Then you do autopsies, don't have pain, nothing, because there is no more consciousness trapped inside. Then after that, the other two elements were dispersed. The earth element will break down. The water element will ooze out. Then later on, it will be devoured by the whatever birds or animals or dogs and all those things. Then you are left with finally only the bones, the skeletons. Then later on, this bone and skeleton will also disperse. Then it becomes dust, then blown away. That's why whatever that arises from nature, return to nature. They go the way of nature. From nature you come, to nature you shall return. So these six categories of practice, you only need to do the first three, most important. Oh, the first three, yes, the first three. Then after that, four, five, and six, you can skip, you don't worry. Because this one, through contemplation also you will understand. You no need to meditate on it. Then after that, the second foundation is Vedana Nupassana. So this Vedana Nupassana is mindfulness of feeling. The Buddha said, after you have developed the initial wisdom, after you have developed the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, then you will have what they call sense restraint. Means your mindfulness can allow you to see your defilement, to see your mental hindrance. Then you can exercise sense restraint because you can cultivate the four right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. Then later on, when you have the wisdom and the understanding and you are mindful, before it arises, you will know that this is the same old defilement that is trying to come back through the back door to deceive you. So what you will do is you have the ability to prevent it from arising. But from that arising, your mindfulness is able to catch it. That's why before it arises, you already have the wisdom. You already have manasikara. Then you say, enough. I had enough. I have seen you. I know your deceitfulness. How you deceive the form and mind, the mundane mind. How you bring about delusion to condition living being, suffering, misery, the evil roots and all those things. So when you see that, you can arise the right effort to prevent it from arising. And then you will move on to cultivate the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, they are still not in you. Yeah. Then you will develop the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. Then after that, the final right effort is to refine upon and perfect all the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you, that you need to perfect them. Then after that, you will have the ability to arise the three way of right conduct. Means you are incapable of evil at that time. Your action, speech, and thought process is always right, based on right view, based on the wisdom, yoniso manasikara. And when you reach this stage, chances are you are already a sotapan. Otherwise, you cannot reach this stage. And then after that, you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. By then, your kaya nupassana should have finished, actually. You straight away go to vedana nupassana, mindfulness of feeling. So when you come to vedana nupassana, it's very easy because your mindfulness is already so stable. You have continuous mindfulness. You are ever mindful. So you can be at the moment of feeling straight away. When feeling arises, like the Buddha said, you are aware. What are you supposed to be aware? Under Vedana Nupassana. What are you supposed to be aware? Aware of what? You cannot recall what the sutta say. Upon contact, feeling arises there. So when feeling arises, you're supposed to be mindful, isn't it? That is what the third way is all about, isn't it? Meditation. So when you are mindful means what? When the feeling has this unpleasant feeling like she went through, the unpleasant feeling, you are aware, isn't it? That's why she is aware. Then what she do? She go back to Anapanasati. That is the third way, understand? Go back to Anapanasati means maintain mindfulness, aware. don't have anything to do with the thought process. Then you realize when you are just aware, what happened? Your mind returned to the original state before the stirring, before the reaction of mind, understand? Before you become unhappy. Let's say you see something, somebody you don't like, then your memory recall, and you develop dislike for that person. Or you recall some unpleasant happening, then you become angry with that person, unhappy. Then you know this is unsatisfactory mind state going to haunt you, going to disturb you. Or you hear somebody abusively scolded you, or backbite, talk bad things about you, or put word in your mouth and accuse you of so many things, especially in office politics. Then sometimes due to misunderstanding, people scolded you, offended you. So the moment you hear it without wisdom, without the yoniso manasikara, you will stir, you will react. That's how your feeling will not stay as feeling. Feeling will be conditioned into craving. Craving got two types, isn't it? Clear or not? Actually, it's three types. Yeah. The first one is sensual craving. Sensual craving got like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's why the Buddha said when you are aware, means this feeling, the moment it arrives, you are aware, when the unpleasant feeling has arisen, you are aware. Or when the pleasant feeling has arisen, you are aware. Means this second foundation of mindfulness will explain to you very clearly how your mind stir and create the mental hindrance. What is unpleasant feeling? Yeah? What is unpleasant feeling? The feeling that you don't like, isn't it? Huh? That has the negative evil roots, isn't it? And this is what the five mental hindrances are all about. The first two, sensual desire and ill will. So unpleasant feeling is ill will. Do you understand? So when you are aware that feeling, the pure feeling has moved, means your mind has stirred and become unpleasant feeling. And why did it stir? Because of your wrong view. You recall through memory. Understand? And you stir. That's why this unpleasant feeling will arise. So it's to inform you that your mind has stirred, reacted. You don't have wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. So you cannot deal. Then you have to meditate on it, the Buddha said. When this unwholesome thought has arisen, like anger, fear, hatred, envy, jealousy, when they arise, what must you do? The five ways to meditate is, the first two are thought-based. The Buddha said, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. That one, temporary. Yeah? Because when you have anger or hatred, you think of love and compassion. Then you cannot have anger, cannot have hatred. But this is temporary. Every time you got problem, you run back and develop this type of loving kindness meditation. Yeah? Or think of the direct opposite, wholesome thought. Then you become peaceful. But this is not something that is useful. Because this is just temporary. Temporary solution. It cannot root out your problem. Then the Buddha said, if the first way doesn't really help you, then go to the second way. Second way is to think of the consequence of allowing this wrong thought, or negative feeling or emotion, like anger, hatred, or even fear, to continue to arise in your heart. What will happen to you? These are evil root, root of all evil, make you evil, cause your karmic downfall, your life. Do you want it to happen to you? If you don't want, you have to determine to abandon it. Understand? So when you think of the consequence, you develop the virya to abandon it. You say, no, I am not going to allow this to happen. That's why you will move to the third way. And the third way is what she is doing. That's why you go back to Anapanasati and allow the mind to return to its original state of mindfulness, awareness. When you are just mindful and aware, There is no wrong thought, isn't it? Correct, right? There is no stirring of the mind. That's why you become peaceful again. That's why she know. Through this, the mind can become peaceful. So when you do your meditation, it's the same. Whenever you got this mind state, the mental hindrance or the three evil arising, you just silence your mind and don't do anything. Then your mind will return to its original state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Just like what she experienced. And it's very peaceful. And she can do it very fast because it's from her past. So the Buddha gave the analogy of asking Ananda to collect water for him. You remember? He asked Ananda, he said, go and get me some water. So Ananda went and saw a pool of water. But when he went to collect the water, a bullock cart went through, stir the thing, then become muddy, mucky. So he can't. He went back to the Buddha. He said, the water is unfit for you to drink, O Lord. The Buddha said, it's okay. You wait for a while, maybe another 1 or 2 hours. You go back and try to collect again. Second time, Ananda went. Again, the water was not clear, not good enough, not clean enough. So he came back and told the Buddha, it's still not good. Then the Buddha said, okay, go at night. When no more bullock cart, go through. Then Ananda went back the third time. He saw the pool of water when there is no bullock cart passing through become clear. Then he can take the surface, clear water, and bring it back to the Buddha with a lot of joy. He said, O Lord, I have got you the water. It's so beautiful. So the Buddha asked Ananda, what do you learn? Ananda cannot understand. Then the Buddha explained to him, you see, the blocker, when it goes through the pool of water, it caused the muddy thing to come out in there. What does it tell you? Means the muddy thing is still down there, understand? When there is no condition for the mind to stir, means this muddy thing, which is your defilement, or your mental hindrance, or your wrong view, got no chance to come out, understand? But when there is condition, like you see somebody who is not friendly, then he can trigger you, understand? That's why Eckhart Tolle called this the pain body. Pain body means it is an emotion in you, a negative emotion, born of ignorance or delusion. When nobody touch you or disturb you, this pain body is dormant, he said. But when somebody trigger off, then you respond, you become angry. It causes you pain. That's why he used another word, pain body. But we call it defilement, understand? Born of your delusion. So when this defilement is there, not rooted out, you will get angry, you will stir. That's why it becomes murky, muddy. So the Buddha said, your mind is the same. When you meditate, if you are like the bullock cart, every time thinking, 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 and stirring and reacting, forever the mind will be clouded, understand? With the defilement, with the emotion. That's why there is no clarity. And this water is not good for consumption because it is polluted. So your brain is the same. Your mind is the same, mundane mind. When it is heedless, continuously reacting and stirring throughout the day, creating mental hindrance of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. It means the clarity of mind is not there. So what happens is your mind is always clouded, murky. Clouded with what? With all the mental hindrance, with all the evil root, with all the deluded mind state. That's why it's not peaceful. You lack the spiritual faculty of awareness, sati, and mindfulness. So this is how the Buddha teach. He said, when you meditate, you just silent, relax, aware. And the natural state of mind will come back. Well, without wrong view, it will not stir, it will not react. It's like the bullock cart. It will not go through the thing and stir it up. So this one, When you become peaceful through this understanding, it's just a more stable condition for your mind to be peaceful, like when the went through. So this mind state, when it arrives, is very useful for you because you know how to attain peace relatively easily. But what you need, like I told her at the beginning, is the stability of wisdom. So the Buddha said, with this understanding, now you should develop mindfulness of the citta, followed by dhamma. So that's why we go to the third one. Third one is citta nupassana. This is the third foundation, citta nupassana. Means mindfulness of the citta. You know what is citta, is it? Content of consciousness. So this one is content of consciousness. So the Buddha said, when you come to citta nupassana, like vedana, upon contact feeling arise, you stay there. Then when feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant, you aware. Means you know your mind has stirred. You have wrong view. You are deluded. That's why you are not at peace. You create mental hindrance. So that wisdom and understanding will allow you to be at peace. Then you have to reflect and contemplate. Why did I stir my mind? How can I straighten my view so that I won't do this type of foolish thing anymore? Then you will come to understand what I taught you just now. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Condition like that, things like that, things will go that way. Cannot be otherwise. So we have to learn to accept the reality of the moment, to be at peace with everything, accord and flow. Then our mind is always at peace. Means we have right view to accept the reality of the moment. Condition like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. If we want things our way, we suffer. Means, like I said, whatever happened in life, don't react, don't get angry, don't stir your mind. Accept it as a reality. Be at peace first, and then act. Act with that clarity of mind. Don't go and project your thought, develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow and the lamentation. There is delusion, there is foolishness, there is stupidity, ignorance. So when you understand this, the initial wisdom will be very powerful. At the moment of sense experience, it will not stir. Then you can see things as they are. Then you can insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics. That's how you can develop them. Yeah. But when it comes to citta nupassana, you're supposed to go deeper than feeling. Because feeling is just feeling, understand not? One of the aggregate of mind, which is very, very simple. Feeling is either pleasant or unpleasant, like your like and dislike. So it's very simple. But when it comes to content of consciousness, it's different. Because this content of consciousness, which is what you input into your consciousness, your thought. When you are aware, like in the seeing, the Buddha say, it's just a seeing consciousness. Yes, just a consciousness. You are not deluded yet. You are not deceived yet. Where you didn't associate with the seeing. But the moment you input the content of consciousness based on your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your memory, and then that wrong view went in. Understand? So when that wrong view went in, then you realize your mind stir, react. And then you see the various type of mind state, the content of consciousness. So when the citta or consciousness has the content of greed, you must be aware. The content of selfishness, desire, covetousness, envy, jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, you must be aware. Then when the content of consciousness is peaceful, calm, aware, you also need to be aware. Because these are the movement of mind. The stirring of mind, the various mental state that arise, we call it the content of consciousness. So you have to be mindful of all this so that you can be sensitive. in the daily life, the slightest movement, you already aware. So how can it condition you into transgression or action and cause all the karmic negativity? Cannot, because of this mindfulness. So when you have this ability to actually cultivate the third foundation, then all your various type of mind state you will know. And you can bring it under control to your understanding, which is wisdom. Then this not only feeling will remain as pure feeling. Even the content of consciousness is all based on right view, right understanding. That's why you will experience the seven factors of enlightenment and all those things, the peaceful mind state. Yeah. Then after that, the final foundation which you have to cultivate is the last one, number four, Dhamma Nupassana. And this is the accumulation, Dhamma Nupassana. So mindfulness of Dhamma, all the truth, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. So under this category of practice, the first one is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. And this is most important. When you are able to be mindful of the mental hindrance, you will already have the ability to develop very high level of wisdom. Like the Buddha said, when the content of consciousness has this mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will, you are aware. You are just aware. Then he said, if you continue to be aware, you will be able to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance or evil root comes to be. Because before you have the mental hindrance, let's say sensual desire or ill will, there was none there. So if you continue to be aware, then you will come to understand how it ceased to be. Because after you develop the ability to meditate using the third way, the sensual desire or ill will or any of the mental hindrance like sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind or doubt, when they arise, if you just silence your mind, aware, develop the third way of meditation, maintain awareness, then it ceases to be. Then you will come to know, the Buddha said, how the arisen mental hindrance or defilement ceases to be. You will know that by not doing anything, by not holding on to it, grasping onto it, giving meaning to it. Then it cannot move, it cannot stir. Then like J. Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of that emotion or that thought is the very ending of the emotion. But this anger, this fear, this jealousy or whatever mind state, sensual desire or what, they are dependent originating, condition arising into your wrong view. So when you straighten your view, you don't give it any more meaning, no more thought, it will cease to be. It will slow down, cease. Then the original mind will return. And then you will understand. You understand how the unarisen mental hindrance comes to be. Where through your wrong view, you stir, you react, it comes. Then when you're silent, don't do anything, it ceases. You understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Then when you continuously meditate in this way, when you understand it so clearly, then one day, the Buddha said, you will come to understand how in the future there is no more arising of this mental hindrance. All this wrong thought, defilement, all cannot arise anymore. But you have already developed the wisdom. But you see how they arise and how they cease. So with that understanding and wisdom, it will not arise again. That's how you meditate on Dhamma Nupassana. Yeah. Then the second category of practice or cultivation under Dhamma Nupassana is mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Yeah. That one also same. You will develop the same understanding. What is form? The two types of form, physical form and mental form. Then feeling, perception, mind state, sankhara, activity of mind, and consciousness. All these five, you can develop awareness or mindfulness of it. When the aggregate of form is there, you're aware. When the aggregate of form is no more longer there, you are also aware. Because all these five aggregates, they come and they go. They come and they go. Then later on, you will move on to the third category of practice, which is most important. So this third category of practice, the Buddha said, you will meditate on the 18th sense rhyme. Means mindfulness. The third category of practice is mindfulness. Of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. When you do this, you will develop the wisdom, the understanding to overcome all defilement. So this is what they call mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. The six internal sense bases, you know, the five physical sense bases plus the mind. That's why it's six. Okay? You have the sense bases of your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile, and your brain or your thought process. Then the six external sense bases are the respective sense data. Like your seeing consciousness, your sense data is what? Color, shape, and form. Understand? Then you can see them, you can perceive them through your seeing consciousness. Your sense basis for hearing is what? Vibration, isn't it? Can be music, sound, or noise, or whatever vibration. Then you have your smell, your taste, your tactile, like hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant, tactile sensation. Then your mind, your mental object that goes in, whatever you perceive, the external form that goes in, that is your external sense data. So when you are doing mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, the Buddha said you have to be mindful of how you function as a human being. This is how dependent origination come about, paticca-samuppada come about. Then when you are silent, you realize through your senses, upon contact, what happened. It's not just feeling. Upon contact, actually, you become conscious first. Then the seven universal went in. The seven universal, which are, they call it mind state, that are common to all consciousness. That's why feeling is one of them. That's why in the dependent origin, they always say upon contact, feeling arise. But that is just linear. Actually, based on the physical experiment that I draw before, when you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. These are all nature's law. When the conditions are there, when you on the switch, the light bulb lights up because it's in working condition, functioning condition. So when the light bulb lights up, it means you become conscious. You can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel or think. So that consciousness actually is the first to come out. That's why the Buddha said in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, or in the hearing is only the hearing consciousness. So that consciousness arises. Then you input the content with the seven universal. It went in. So at that time, if it's the content is born of delusion, then the mind will stir. That's why you can trace the origination factor. Before you get angry, there was no anger. Before there is, you have fear, there was no fear. Then how did fear arise? How did anger arise? The Buddha said, trace the origination factor, which is the fourth way. How do you trace? Through this mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and 6 external sense, then you realize it always comes from this sense basis. When the sense data makes contact with the sense basis with the mind, then consciousness arises. Then when consciousness arises, the 7 universe is inside. That's why with mindfulness, when you do this, you can see how you function as a human being very clearly. Then you will understand the dependent origination very clearly. It's spontaneous, simultaneous within that moment, not over the 3 lifetimes. Then when you understand how your mind stir, means it is due to the senses. Upon contact, your mind arise and input the wrong content and it stir. That's how you trace the origination factor. Then you realize, oh yeah, just now before I met the fellow or I saw the fellow, and through memory I recall the past, I was not having anger. But the moment I saw him and the memory triggered off, I straight away get unhappy, emotional, and perceive him with negativity. And this is what attachment is all about. This is what craving is all about. This is what delusion is all about. Then you realize this is wrong view. Because I cannot see things as they are. I perceive him with negativity based on my memory, based on my wrong view. So I still haven't straightened my view. So I ask myself, how can I, through this understanding, retrospectively reverse all this by straightening my view so that I will not stir my mind again in the future? Then, like I teach you, yeah, through your initial wisdom, you will come to know, yeah, the Buddha said, we have to learn to see things as they are. So if they are just the way they are, what does it mean? It means deluded person will do deluded thing. Understand? Angry person will do angry thing. Selfish people will do selfish thing. Then you realize, yeah, if I can perceive him the way he is, means my mind doesn't stir anymore. Understand not? I will not get unhappy over what he did to me in the past anymore. But this is the way he is. He is deluded. He was deluded at that time. Now he is still deluded. He will do the same. So when I can have this right view to straighten my view and be at peace with whatever he do, then I realize my mind is not like before. It does not stir anymore. Then I don't even need samadhi to be at peace. But if you have your spiritual faculty developed, the daily mindfulness very stable, then with samadhi, you can see things as they are, means what? You just see that person, it does not move, because your mind is collected and unwavering. Then your content or consciousness does not come in. Your brain, the memory, your views and your opinion, condition, does not come in. Then you observe. How come he is like that? Why did he do that? Then you realize, it's because of his ignorance. That's why he do that. It's because of his selfishness. That's why he do that. It's because of his fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lament. That's why he is the way he is. And then you start to understand, I can be at peace. That is the right way to live life. And through that, you straighten your view. Then in future, when you see such a person or such condition, your mind is at peace, no longer stir and react. That's why you can free your mind. So through wisdom, retrospectively, you straighten your view. This wisdom frees you. Wisdom liberates your mind. That's how you develop the understanding to free your mind. And that is a very powerful way. So this mindfulness of the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Then when you are on the right path, when you understand this clearly, your wisdom start to arise, then you will come to realize the next category of practice become very simple. The next category of practice, you know what is it or not? Mindfulness or what? Huh? After this is mindfulness or what? the seven factors of enlightenment, and that's all. Then you know you're on the right path. But the factor of enlightenment keep on arising. When there is sati, you're aware. When there is this Dhamma investigation, you're aware. Then when there is this virya, you're aware. Then when there is this piti, you're aware. Pasati, you're aware. Samadhi, you're aware. Then upeka, born of wisdom. Equanimity of mind, born of wisdom. You're fully aware. That's why after that, you will move on to the last category of practice. The Buddha said, mindfulness of the four noble truths. And then that time, very simple. First noble truth, straight away you will understand. Second noble truth, straight away you will understand. Because you already awakened. Then you will come to realize that the third noble truth will lead to Nibbana, enlightenment in the here and the now. Then the final category of practice is still the cultivation of the fourth noble truth, which is Noble Eightfold Path. That's why whatever meditation you do, if it does not bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to give you the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, you have not developed the enlightenment as taught by the Buddha. Because the Buddha called the enlightened being noble ones. Noble ones are enlightened ones that has noble qualities of life, embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. They have wisdom born of right view. And they have right thought, right speech, right action born of those right view. Then they have the four right effort to constantly purify their mind. Then they know how to live life. They have the right living or right livelihood. Then they will also have right mindfulness, leading to right samadhi. So all these eight path factors will make them very noble in all aspects of life. They are not only noble in the way they communicate with people, the way they act, the way they arise their thought process, the way they live their life. They are all full of nobility. They are very noble in all aspects of life. The way you conduct yourself in life is very important. That's why under the salutation to the Sangha that we chant, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha got four great qualities. First one is Supatipanno, means of good conduct, is the order of the disciple of the Buddha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. They have good conduct. Then the second one is of upright conduct. They are very righteous. They have upright conduct. Not only good conduct, they are very righteous. They won't do wrong thing. They are very honorable, very sincere, very upright, very trustworthy. Then the third one is of wise conduct. They have a lot of wisdom. That's why they got right view. Are the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the last one is what? Of dutiful conduct. They do their duty. They know this form of mind is duty, subject to karma. That's why they don't simply do things. That's why the last one, Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. So they are very, very righteous, and they know their right duty. They are of very, very wise conduct, and they have dutiful conduct. They do their duty very well. So these are reflected in the Noble Eightfold Path. A person with the Noble Eightfold Path will have right view, which is wise conduct. Then you will have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, which are the good conduct. Understand? Yeah? Then you have what they call four right effort and mindfulness and samadhi, all those things. And this will give rise to what they call very, very virtuous conduct. So your upright conduct, your good conduct, they are all there. Then you will have the wisdom, the right view, not to be deluded. You will know how to do your duty very well, even though it's not real within the conditioned world. no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma or life. But there is such thing as a human being. There is such thing as a form of mind that is subject to karma. That's why you will know all this and you will do your duty accordingly. And so this is how the Dhamma actually comes about. And with this understanding, you cultivate accordingly, which is following the Buddha's teaching. You can check all this against the Avijja Sutta. It falls into place. Each and every step of the Avijja Sutta, they point towards this cultivation. And they are the same. They are linked. They are connected. That's why this is a very, very powerful teaching. And it can really bring about great transformation, enlightenment in the here and the now. Okay? So with this, I hope it's clear. Wendy, can follow. Sadhu to you. Very good. You arise a good condition too. And I rejoice. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Tonight the topic is very beautiful, very, very relevant and very important. So listen to it, then map out the understanding, the teaching, then you will know how to cultivate. Then when you do it with understanding, you will progress very fast and you will root out your defilement, your wrong view, everything very fast. And you will progress very fast. Okay? Any other question? We still got 8 minutes. Can get me Chinese tea. Or use the white glass. Use the white glass. The white glass with my water. Mix some Chinese tea. Oh, just now the white glass no more on the table. they make very nice NO for me. But I need Chinese tea now. yeah, that one will do. Thank you. Is it clear what has been explained? Not easy to follow, but those who understand is very clear. Thank you. Just leave it here. Thank you. Just now I used almost an hour plus to explain this. We finish our meditation at 9, I remember. Then after the chanting was about 9:05, 1 hour plus. Now it's almost 10:24, 10:23. Anybody got any more question or report your meditation or ask any question you have? Just raise your hand. We'll pass you the mic. Don't have is understood. So no need to explain anymore. Daily mindfulness is very important. Then today, I think I finished editing the last Thursday class and Sunday class. Short notes, outline short notes. So I think I will send it out. Wait. Okay. Yeah. I think I will forward it to you all. Yeah? Okay. I will forward it to you all. Yeah? Okay, this one, oh sorry, it's Brother Pang's house Dana, eh? The short notes. Okay, I will forward this one first. Kayamita. Okay. Okay. First one already sent. Second one now. So you go back and read through it. It's very useful. Okay, both also send. So you read through it, it will be easier for you to understand. And maybe next Thursday class, if you got any question, you can ask me. Even the four foundation of mindfulness is described there, under the last Thursday class. The Abhijja Sutta is also there. The Abhijja Sutta to overcome ignorance. And I will go through with you. First is to have Dhamma friend. Having Dhamma friend. So when you have Dhamma friend, it's a condition for you to receive the Dhamma. Means you will have opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. Yeah. And this is a important prerequisite for enlightenment. You don't listen to the Dhamma to straighten your view, you cannot become enlightened. So, listening to Dhamma gives rise to the first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, to straighten one's view. First turning wisdom. Then you will develop the faith in the Triple Gem. So, once you develop the faith in the Triple Gem, you can reflect and contemplate on the Dhamma. Then you assimilate the Dhamma learned via second turning wisdom to arise the initial wisdom of Yoniso Manasikara, which is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Then when you have this initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara, you can develop Sati Sampajana, daily mindfulness. Sati, mindfulness with clear comprehension. Just now I didn't finish the four types of comprehension. I just told you one, sincerity of purpose. Second type of clear comprehension is the domain of meditation. Means meditation can be done anywhere, any place, any time. No restriction. You don't have to wait till you are retired. Or you don't have to wait till you are in a temple or in a Thursday class or in a conducive environment. No. Life itself is the greatest condition for meditation. Because meditation is to be mindful, to be aware, like the four foundations of mindfulness, the daily mindfulness, aware of all action, all movement in the present moment. So you have to do it in life. You cannot be deceived or deluded by that lack of clear comprehension. of domain of meditation. So when you understand, you will not procrastinate. You will not give reason and like try to delay your meditative training. You can do it straight away, even while working in the midst of life. Then the third one is clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability means the suitable time, which is now. The most suitable people are the people around you. You can either teach them or learn from them. Yeah. And the most important place, the most suitable place, is also this very locality that you are in, because the rest are not a reality. Yeah. So clear comprehension of suitability will let you understand the importance of where you are, the people you are with. Yeah. And also that moment, that instant, that present moment awareness. The last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. Means there is no delusion to trap you. Means when you meditate and progress, the 10 defilements of insight will not deceive you. You will not be complacent. You will not be caught. So you have clarity of mind. So these are the four comprehension. Then after sati sampajana, you will be able to have sense restraint to deal with life and sense experience. So this ability to deal with sense restraint is very important. It will give rise to the three way of good conduct. Then after that, you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Then it will give rise to the seven factors of enlightenment. Then these seven factors of enlightenment will make you awaken. It will give rise to true knowledge leading to enlightenment, born of the third turning. There are four types of clear comprehension also mentioned there. Sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability, and non-delusion. Then the five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances, mind sweeping method. Then also about vipassana. Vipassana is not a practice. Then we have the first aspect and second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, the daily contemplation and all those things. Then the three types of craving. Very comprehensive. Then number 16. I cannot recall your name. That's why I put one of the sisters who just attended the Thursday class last week. Share her experience from last week's session, where she was able to maintain her mindfulness for 4 days after that Thursday night's meditation. Her mind state was very calm and peaceful with a lot of joy and clarity. She also shared that during those days she hardly dreams. But on the last day, she dreamt about her late father speaking to her. And then Brother Teo rejoiced and said to her, "Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu." And for her to have this type of ability, she must have had her past cultivation cultivated before. Otherwise, she can't experience such long period of mindfulness immediately after only one Thursday class meditation session. So all these are very, very beautiful. Go back and read about it. And it will help you. Then if you got any question, you can ask me. The other one, the Brother Pang's house down, are also very good. I don't have time to cover. You go back and read about it. So these are all very beautiful. Actually, all these are very beautiful. Very good. Okay. So we all end. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now I will share merit and transfer merit. Then you all can make your aspiration. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 to 3 hours. And we shall now share and transfer this merit to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana ita wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Eh?
My dear brothers and sisters in the Dharma, let's express our gratitude and respect to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo for coming all the way to share this profound Dharma with us by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Sister Elsie for fetching Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to everyone for being here tonight, and sadhu for bringing all the offerings tonight. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.